Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, March 6, 2015, and with me today, it's sort of like a little podcast reunion. I have John Braun from the Mac Geek Gab. How are you, John?
John F. Braun. I'm doing fantastic, Jeff. Don't forget the F.
The F was implied this time. And also my partner in crime from Apple Context Machine, Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great, but I'm not sure that you know what reunion means.
This is my show. I will use words in any context.
Fair enough. Giddy up. It's good to have you, John. It's good to be with you on the same show that is hosted by Jeff and controlled by Jeff, John.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. Okay, John, the reason I wanted you to come on the show today was because you wrote a really great piece yesterday about a security flaw that's in Gatekeeper. And Gatekeeper being the part of the security structure that's built into OS X on the Mac. And I was wondering if you could explain what that is so that mere mortals know what this is and what implication this has for them.
Okay, so Gatekeeper, as you mentioned, is a mechanism that has been in OS X since Lion, and basically what it does, when you get down to it, so it uses a technology that we'll call code signing. This is not something new to operating systems, but what it really boils down to, without getting into a big math lesson here, because there's a lot of math involved. What it involves is when you sign up with Apple as a developer, you get something that's known as a certificate, and that identifies you, and it also verifies your identity. In that, at the very least, you know, they send you an email and you have to, you know, currently now throw $99 at them. So it proves that you have money and that you, someone that has paid for this exists in an email address. That's what it proves. So they do more thorough checks if you claim to be a company, but, you know, for most purposes, that's good enough.
Now, and then the certificate is supposed to be something that that helps identify an application as legit, right?
It contains the identity of an individual. So, for example, I am part of the developer program, and so I have a certificate that says I am John F. Braun. Likewise, Apple has a certificate, so if Apple makes an installer, it'll say this is from Apple, or if Adobe has an installer. They don't have to do this in an installer, but a lot of companies do, and you'll see a little lock. And if you click on it, it'll show you the certificate of the person who created the software. And that's something you should check if it's available. Same technology with websites. If you see the little lock there, click on the lock. It's going to tell you who the certificate or the owner of the site, who it belongs to. And then you can decide from that point whether you trust them or not.
All right. So this sounds good so far. Where does the problem come in?
Well, here's the problem. So what happens is that Gatekeeper, which you can set up, of course, in your system preferences, it has a number of options, and there are three options. So one is do no checking, and I would recommend against that. The other is only allow me to run apps that I bought in the App Store. I don't recommend that either because
That's the default setting, right, John?
I believe the default setting is the one that I'm going to talk about, which is kind of the middle of the road. You may be right, Brian. I'm not sure, but there's a third setting which I think is a reasonable compromise, and it's allow apps from the Mac App Store and identify developers.
All right, and that's where the certificate comes back in because you're an identified developer, and the app is linked to your certificate.
Correct. So what happened is, I was surfing, you know, not going to any questionable sites, at least for the purposes of this discussion. And I came across a dialogue, which I think, Jeff, when you and I had spoken, I got a little dialogue that said, oh, your version of Flash is out of date. You better download this updater and fix it. And I started laughing because it was such an amateurish, at least for me, an amateurish attempt to make me try to download what was claimed to be a Flash installer. I almost got coffee all over my screen. It was, and then I'm like, okay, you guys want to play? And so I downloaded it. Now, some people may say, John, that's stupid, but I like playing these games. I have a security background and a software background, and I'm like, let me see what these guys are trying to pull. This is very interesting. So I downloaded it, and I downloaded the file. It was a DMG, a disk image file, which and it said, and the naming of it was like, you know, Adobe Flash Update or something like that. It was close to the naming that Adobe gives theirs, but not quite. So at first, there's really nothing there that tells you that something weird is going on, because it's a disk image. That's fine. There's no problem there. The next problem, though, is once you open up a disk image, different things can appear. Now, what happened with this thing is that it appeared to be an installer. An installer has a specific icon, and there's a very specific file type when you download a file that's an installer. And that's, to me, the preferred method of installing any application on the Mac. Not all applications use the Apple installer, and I really think they should if they can. Some choose not to, and that's their fault.
All right, so what did you end up finding? Because I'm gathering you didn't find what you would expect it, what you expected to see if this was legit.
Right. So the first thing that I saw was when I double-clicked on this file, which had the icon of an installer, but then I got a dialogue that said, this is a file you downloaded from the internet, and the site you downloaded it from is 24check.something.something. I don't have it in front of me right now. But that was the first sign that something's wrong. It's like, because that's not supposed to happen with an installer. You're not supposed to get that dialogue. And then I looked further, and I learned that this was, in fact, not. If you look at the file type, so if you just look at the icon, you wouldn't know any better. But if you look at the file type, which you could get do a get info on it, it was actually an application. And the bad news with an application is that an application, if you let it, can wreak havoc on your system. And that's what this one, as far as I could tell, what this was a adware installer.
All right. So to cut to the chase on that, you were at a website. It said you needed to install or update Flash. It gives you a link for a download. What you downloaded was not Flash installer. It was a Trojan horse pretending to be the Flash installer that was going to install adware in your computer instead.
Yes. And so it was an application. Now, the thing that I told you about identified developer, here's the problem. An application, if you try to launch an application on the Mac and you have Gatekeeper set up so that you only can launch from identified developers, you'll get a warning if the application has not been signed by a certificate. The thing is, I did not get a warning.
So yours was signed by a certificate.
And that's the bad news.
And that takes us back to Gatekeeper.
Right. Now, here's the problem, though. Someone was bold enough to actually sign up and get a developer certificate and sign this application in order that it would fool someone. Because I think most people, if they had their system set up in a certain way, would see the dialogue saying, oh, this is from an unidentified developer, and they'd be like, oh, well, I'm not going to run that. But this didn't give that warning because it wasn't from an identified developer. It was.
So let's let me recap, because this is important stuff. Gatekeeper is set up in such a way that it is still possible for the bad guys to sign up for the developer program, get a certificate, and stick malware or adware out there on the internet for us to get. And even though the system is supposed to protect we the user, in this particular case, it doesn't protect we the user. And even after you reported this to developer relations, it wasn't pulled, and that certificate is still good as far as we know, correct?
Correct. And this is where I'm honestly a bit disappointed in both the technology or the claims that it makes and their implementation. Because one thing that you can do with a certificate, and this is true of any certificate, whether it protects a website or protects an application, is that you can do something known as revocation, is that whoever issued the certificate, in this case Apple, can in their database say, oh, well, this is a rogue developer. This is a bad person. They violate, and you know, this guy violated all sorts of conditions of being a good developer. What they should have done, as soon as it was reported, and I did report it to multiple parties, they should have revoked this certificate. So that's item number one that they should do, but they have not, as far as I can tell with the tools I have, they haven't done that. Number two, I don't think Gatekeeper actively checks for revocation, or at least
that's really bad.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Right. I was not unable. So I have tools that actually show outgoing connections. And as far as I can tell, right, what they should do, I mean, this is part of anybody who runs it, because a certificate, you're vouching for someone. If you issue a certificate to someone and if they're untrustworthy, you got to revoke that. You got to reject it. You got to say it's no longer good. And at this second right now, I can still run that app, and I don't think that should be the case, but I can, and that's.
I totally agree with you. Now, one of the things, John, that I've seen a couple of knee-jerk responses. I saw one on Reddit. Someone actually commented on our own article about this. Their thought is that, you know, well, if you're stupid enough to do this, then you've got what's coming to you, and how is this Apple's fault? And I have a huge problem with that, because
as do I.
Things like Gatekeeper were never aimed at you, John, or even me, and I'm nowhere near as technically proficient as you are. I mean, I'm not even in the same ballpark as you. Gatekeeper was designed to protect normal users, people who are not geeks, people who do not dig into them, but people for whom a Mac is just a thing to get things done with. And this attitude that a lot of our fellow nerds have, that you know, no one should be fooled by this, or I mean, it's just ridiculous. There are lots of people who would be fooled by even that awful installer that you showed us in the article. A lot of people.
Yeah, I agree with you. The person that made the comment, and there was a subsequent comment basically telling this person that, you know, stop being like you are. This is someone that knows enough about technology to know not to do this. But as you're pointing out, Brian, there are plenty of people. My parents, even my parents
most
have coached
of the people.
Me on this. Most, the thing is, there were no obvious, though in the article I point this out, there were no obvious indications for the average user that the disk image loaded. They may not have paid attention to where it was coming from, thinking, "Oh, well, this is an update site." That sounds reasonable.
They probably didn't even know where to look to see where it's coming from,
right? And they saw the happy icon that they see normally when they install, if they've ever installed other software, and they see, you know, the little gold box, and they're like, "Oh, that looks normal." And then when you launch the app, although it wasn't an installer, it was made to look like an installer visually. Looked like an installer. So yeah, for the average individual, there was no indication that this was something bad to do.
It's not going to fool a savvy user, but most of the people out there are not savvy users, and they shouldn't have to be savvy users. As a matter of fact, Apple has built its reputation on being the computer for the rest of us. And I think that this is a problem, in particular the fact that you made a really great observation in the piece, John, about how the sign up process is good for determining identity, but not for intent. And Apple can't magically understand everybody's intent, but when something like this gets reported, these certificates should be revoked almost instantly, and that app should no longer be able to be run.
I right. agree. There's an inherent level of trust that comes from the average user when they're sitting in front of their computer, and they're trusting that what they're seeing on screen is what it appears to be. And Apple has created a system where they're trying to help protect people from the bad guys. So they have taken on the responsibility of making sure that problems like this don't happen. And yet here we are.
Here we are. So
now we really don't have much more than here's the problem, and Apple doesn't have a solution for us yet.
But neither of the parties that I've contacted at Apple have and they know how to get in touch with me. I told them how. But there's been no response. And
that's typical. That's actually a common complaint for people that report security problems to Apple is they tend not to bother to say anything until they're ready to deal with it.
Right. So it could be that next week we see a security update come out, or in the next month or something. And it'll probably have a vague description like improved security functionality with Gatekeeper.
But you know, Jeff, I mean, this is just an example that I stumbled across. But based on what I've seen, this is a problem that's inherent to Gatekeeper, starting with Lion, in that something that's relying on signed code and the signer is then identified as being untrustworthy, you have to have a process in place to deal with that. And so, no, this is not just something out of the blue. I just happened to come across this. And hats off to the person that did. I got to say, this is actually technically and social engineering-wise actually rather clever of the person that did this. I mean, they're also a jerk because what they're trying to do is install adware. But I got to kind of appreciate the you know, the skill that was used to come up with something that could bamboozle people.
But they were pretty lazy in making it look like an Adobe installer. But that's beside the point. They did put a lot of effort into it, to your point.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the advice I would give people based on what you have told us today, John. If you get a dialogue telling you that you need to update or install software and it's not from a source that you already know you can trust, go back to the company's website yourself, find the appropriate installer, and install it from there. So like if someone says, or if a website says, oh, you need a new version of Flash. Okay, go to adobe.com yourself, and there's a link to download Flash from there.
I think it's adobe.com/...
get Flash.
Yeah. Yeah, I never ever download a Flash installer from when a website pops up anything that tells me to update. I go to Adobe site,
and that's smart. And I would say avoid websites that you're not sure about the security, and unfamiliar sites, unsavory sites that may have ulterior motives. So. It's better to fly the straight and narrow on the internet, and be paranoid to ensure that you don't fall victim to attacks like the one that John discovered.
I bet John F. Braun here is screaming, "Are you kidding me? No, 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 no!" What to that?
I would have slightly different advice. So in the case of Flash, and Jeff, I know that you despise Flash, and I think you don't even have it on any of your systems. And I can understand, though I don't agree with your stand on it, but if you're talking a Flash installer, where I would go would be in system preferences. Flash has a pref pane. I would go there, click on that, and say check for an update. To me, that's
assuming you've installed it already.
Correct. Right. So that's a valid place. Though, as you pointed out, yes, there's also a place. I think it's get.adobe.com. I believe that's a – or no, that redirects to adobe.com.
I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes.
Yeah. Right. Otherwise, for other software that you trust, nearly all of the packages that I use incorporate a update technology called Sparkle, in that the application itself. So I agree with your advice. You should never, almost never, take the instruction of a website that offers to update your software for you. If it's coming from your browser, I would say 99.99% of the time, that's bad. Now, there's a 0.1% where it's valid, though, Jeff, in that Apple has, on occasion, invalidated the use of Flash within Safari. And what you will see, instead of the Flash content, it will say, I think, Flash out of date. If you click on that, it will then redirect you to a place to get it. And that's actually the dialogue that these guys were trying to present you with.
So there you go. So now we have a scenario where Apple tried to do something to be helpful in Safari, and bad guys are taking advantage of that, making it important that even if you're seeing the dialogue that appears to be from Apple, just go to Adobe's website yourself. or if you have Flash installed, like John said, you can go to the to System Preferences and run an update from there. All right, we are pretty much out of time, but really quick, I wanted to touch on another story from this morning because I just thought it was really interesting and important. And this is the news that Apple and 378 other companies, 379 companies total, filed an amicus brief with U.S. Supreme Court urging the Supreme Court to shut down state-level laws that would block same-sex marriage. And their reasoning is because they feel that this is a problem for business, and they want to be able to offer equal services and opportunities to all of their employees, regardless of what state they're in. And wow, 379 companies got on board.
Well, that's not really a lot of companies, except for these are all major companies with with a lot of employees and major revenues and whatnot. And frankly, making the argument for this from a pro business standpoint is probably going to carry a lot more weight with the Supreme Court than to argue it from the standpoint of it being a moral issue.
Yeah, I thought that was a really smart way to approach this, because regardless of what moral issues there are for people, this comes down to numbers and this comes down to business.
Yeah, well, there's a great quote you included in your article. Quote, "The patchwork of inconsistent state marriage laws makes it challenging and more costly for employers to administer benefit systems when some employees are unable to marry and other employees' marriages are not recognized by the state. This burden burdens business by costing them both time and money," unquote. And that came from Morgan Lewis partner Susan Baker Manning. It's a great quote. It's a great argument.
I'll give you I've seen this in my past corporate experience, another example of this. So one, the company that I worked for in the past, actually our state does allow benefits for a domestic partner, so that wasn't an issue in Connecticut. But another aspect where one could argue that it's bad for business from a states' rights thing is income tax or tax laws in general. It's a freaking nightmare to do business in every different state has different income tax rate or different sales tax, different laws as what's taxable, what's not. One could argue that's another case where why don't we just standardize this? But some people may say, well, no, that violates states' rights. Okay.
Yeah. So anyhow, I just thought that was a really important bit of information to get out for people. And the Supreme Court case that this was filed in relation to is going to be heard in April. So it's expected to be a landmark case. And we'll have to wait till next month to see what happens. So everyone keep your ear to the ground, and we'll be watching to see exactly how that plays out. And John, thank you for being here today. Mr. John F. Braun, thank you so much. And thank you for bringing your in-depth knowledge about exactly what's happening with this whole gatekeeper security issue.
Will do. I may do it again.
Yeah, if there's follow up that you have for this, we'll have to look at coming back and revisiting the issue again. And Brian, Mr. Brian Chaffin, thank you for being here with me today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. It's always good.
It's always great. And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us. We will see you again next week.